You know, not all heroes wear capes. Some carry leashes, lint rollers, and chew toys. As National Volunteer Week and Foster Appreciation Month approaches, we're reminded that love doesn't always have to be forever to be life-changing. Opening your home to a pet in need, even for a little while, can rewrite their story. Fostering saves lives, and sometimes it just might save yours a little too. We have a special guest today, someone who's opened their heart and home to animals in need and seen firsthand just how powerful fostering can be. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Joel, and I am a first-time host here on the podcast. You're probably wondering, I don't know this voice, because usually it's either Sarah or Taylor, but this week you have me. I've been with the Nova Scotia SPCA since September, and I'm with the marketing and communications team, and I'm excited to be here today, and I'm excited to chat with our guest, who is Debbie Chaplain. Debbie, do you mind giving the listeners tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, hello, Joel. Thank you for having me on the podcast. It's my first one too, so we have something in common. So I'm a mum of three young adult daughters. We moved to Wolfville a year ago, and we're loving it here in Nova Scotia. I'm semi-retired now, and I have had the pleasure of being, I would say, a part of the Kings County SPCA shelter, and they've trusted me with some volunteering to foster their animals, and that's why I'm here today. So very excited.
That is exciting. And that's what I was going to say about you. You are a foster. You, I guess, kind of volunteer, because fostering is kind of volunteering. You're also an adopter. Have you adopted any pets through the Nova Scotia SPCA?
Oh, yes, I have. And I've recently adopted the mama and one of her six puppies, with Lily and Horace. So we are busy with Mama and the puppy, and of course we also have some other pets at home, so they're all getting to know each other well, and it's been quite exciting. So I'd say I was a successful foster, but in a way I failed, because I ended up with keeping two of them, but we had space in our home for two more adoptions. So
fantastic.
There you go.
So what I hear about fostering, people that say they failed at fostering is because they end up just keeping the pet at the house. They don't want to give them up, which I think, as much as they say it's a failed fostering, it's still amazing because you're still finding them a home. Tell us, a lot of listeners here are animal lovers. Can you tell us about your pets? What type of breeds are they? Give me their names again.
So we have, within the family, we have the new adoptions. One is, the mama was a beagle, and the puppy is a beagle mix. Beautiful animals, and they really settled well with our two collies. We also have five kitties, and they all get on very well together at home. And they've sort of rounded out the family, so that's the four ladies and all our pets.
Sounds like you got a full house there.
A busy house with them, yes, but lots of love to go around.
I love that. That's fantastic. Well, let's get into a discussion about fostering. Foster Appreciation Month is coming up. It's the month of May. And what I hear is you came to Nova Scotia, you wanted to foster. I guess, what inspired you to become a foster parent for animals?
Well, I would say my journey to fostering hasn't always been a straightforward one. I'm new to fostering and only just started fostering officially since I came to Nova Scotia, and I'm semi-retired. And my daughters and I share, you know, the care and the love we give to our fostered animals. But, you know, I always had a passion and a love of animals. I grew up in Africa. And I also was very much in my youth, an advocate for animals. I was part of Beauty Without Cruelty in the early days and, you know, very involved with that sort of thing. And then I ended up, I think, initially being an adopter, because when I was in BC, where we moved from, I would go and we would adopt our animals from the shelters, which I think is so important. So over that period of time, we've had dogs, we've had cats, we've had rabbits, we've had hedgehogs, and every single one of them has been a part of our family, and we've always had immense pleasure from them and joy. And then, of course, I was in the interior for a short while, and I wasn't as involved with the SPCA other than adopting, but what happened was we had, and this is a story for the listeners, it's quite amazing, and I don't know why we were the family, but it happened to us. Yeah. We ended up finding, we had our own dogs and cats there, but we ended up finding a young female dog in our yard, out in the sticks a little bit, quite rural. And initially, I think we thought it was our farm neighbors or neighbors that had this dog.
Yeah.
The second day, when she was still in our yard, very friendly, we ended up asking around whose dog it was, didn't know whose dog it was. And with that, I actually called the local SPCA, and they very kindly in Kamloops said to us, would we keep the dog, because they had no room. The shelter was absolutely full. I said, okay. No problem, we'll keep her. So I was an unofficial foster mom for 2 weeks, and then we took this beautiful female dog, she was a cross, to the SPCA. Now, my big concern was she going to be all right? Should we get her, keep her? But anyway, I took her into the SPCA, and I got a call within a couple of hours of leaving her there to say that she was microchipped. So that I said, oh, good. And they found her owner, but her owner was actually in Montreal. So this dog had got from Montreal to BC. And when the SPCA phoned the original owners, apparently as a young, young dog, she'd escaped the yard and the garden, and obviously made her way to BC. And
amazing. What a
trip. Wonderful story was that they transferred, Palou was her original name. They transferred Palou from BC Kamloops to Montreal. And for us, it was just quite a surprise. It was wonderful to know that she went back to her original owner. And it was quite a heartfelt thanks to the SPCA for doing that. And I think from that, you know, I became more involved with SPCA and sponsoring, and we always do, you know, donations. And I always decided from then on that we would always foster if we had an opportunity, the time, the space, which we have now. So Palou went home, and you know, it was quite an incredible story how the dog traveled all those miles from Montreal to Kamloops in BC. I do not know, but maybe that was by rail or, you know.
So nobody knows how the dog got there.
Nobody knows how the dog survived and made it there. But she went home, and she was welcomed back by the family that had lost her. Yeah.
Wow, that is an incredible story. Yeah, I would love just to be a fly, I guess, on the dog as it traveled to Canada from, you know, almost coast to coast. That's I wonder how. That's amazing. Was that kind of unofficially what started your desire to foster animals?
I don't think so. I think I'd always, you know, had little rescues or pet sat. But it was a bit of an inspirational story, and especially with the SPCA, you know, and they were amazing. I think for me, one of the big lessons is to remind everybody, microchip your animals so that if they do happen to go missing, there is a way we can get them back to their homes. So that was a wonderful experience for us all as a family.
Absolutely. And we were just talking about that today, about microchipping your pets, which we do here at the Tartan Tales Veterinary Clinic. So people should definitely look into that. I like it that you brought that up. Wow. Do you still keep in touch with the family in Montreal to find out how the dog's doing?
I haven't personally, but we did. We sent little Paloo back with her little gift and her scarf that we got her, and she was welcomed by the family. We've had pictures of that. And we also know that the little boy had grown up a little bit since he had her other puppy, but he was just over the moon. And certainly we heard back from the SPCA that they were all doing well and had settled back. So, yeah.
Amazing.
But I don't speak French, so we had to have a bit of translation between Montreal and BC folks. But yeah, it was exciting.
Understandable. I would need the same thing. So that's great. So what about then here? You moved to Nova Scotia. You want to get into fostering. You contact Nova Scotia SPCA. You connect with us. Do you remember, the first pet here? What was the story? What was that like? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I filled out an application online to be a foster with the SPCA. And I ended up I was accepted, obviously. I know that the SPCA do get references, and they like to make sure that I think where the animals are going, that it's a good home. So we were quite honored to be allowed to foster. But I got a communication through my email, my phone, and it was from Jessica, the lead at Kings County Shelter, asking for a foster for a cat, an adult cat with medical needs. Her name was Luna, a beautiful cat, and we felt we would start there. And one of the things we did consider at the time was having our own cats and dogs. We felt it was important to ensure that all our animals are vaccinated so that, they're well and when we bring in any animals. We weren't sure. Initially, we said we'd keep her separate. So Luna, being an adult, we had a space between the four of us. We all had a bit of time with her and shift. She was never really left alone. And with her medical needs, my background was neonatal nursing healthcare. So I was able to not worry about administering medication, that sort of thing. So I said, yes, we'd have her. And she was a delight. And she stayed with us and then went back to the shelter. And we found that she had an amazing adoption and is doing well. And I'd like to put a big shout out for Jessica and the team at the Kings County Shelter, because it was my first foster formally with the SPCA. And I know that Jessica and her team made sure we had everything provided that we needed. I also was told I could ask any questions if I had any concerns or any questions to just email. And I don't know, but I think they must sit by their computer 24/7 because they respond so quickly and are so helpful. They provided everything that the cat needed, and we just felt really supported. So that was our first experience, which was very positive. And we just loved it a bit. Yeah,
it's amazing. I'm happy you brought that up. It's amazing to hear. I know everybody in the shelters work very hard, and they're very dedicated into helping the animals. So I love it there that you're getting the support you needed, but I'm happy that you were there to support the animals and us at the same time. So how do you, people that don't know, how do you prepare your home or even your heart for a new foster animal?
I think We had Luna, the cat, and we knew we had a space for her that was warm, quiet, that we would be able to mix with her quite a bit. And one of my daughters even slept overnight, so we had the right space. We had a cat litter for her, although I know the FPCA offered everything, including cat litters, which I thought was amazing, but we already had a new one ready. So we'd already prepared a little bit for her and a bed and everything. So we were all set up. We were very clear in our own minds that with her being an older cat, we weren't going to stress her introducing her to our cat. So we were able to know that they could be kept apart. And you know, we were able to provide her medications and everything. And if we had any concerns, we could ask. So it's really a matter of, as a family, deciding if this is something that you'd like to do, and we work together. And, you know, we all enjoy having the company of the animals. So it was just something that we were quite excited about. And I don't think we've ever changed, really. But I know when we foster, we do go with the mindset of, you know, this is preparing and providing a home, love and support to the animal until they find their forever home. So yes. You have to go in with a slightly different mindset, but it doesn't really... It doesn't feel different, except you realize that somebody else is going to be able to have this most amazing animal as part of their family, and that's preparing them for that.
That's amazing. And for people, I know a lot of people that are interested in fostering, their ultimate question is like, how can I do this without getting attached to the animal? And I know you've talked about failing by fostering because you ended up keeping them. But do you find it challenging to foster because the attachments? I know that's always a concern for people.
I think you actually have to. We had really planned to not keep. With Luna, we knew that there was a family waiting. So when we had fostered, we knew it was slightly different. We later went on to foster some kittens. And, you know, we loved the 5 kittens that we had, and it was over Christmas time. So it was a lovely time to spend time with them. But again, we knew being kittens, they'd probably find homes quite easily. Mm-hmm. And you also know that your role is to love them, handle them so they get used to people, you know, make sure all their needs are met. We were quite observant. One of the little kittens wasn't so well. So we worked with Jessica and the team, and they were wonderful. But I do think it's really difficult because sometimes you just know that that particular foster was meant to be in your family. And, yeah. You know, I think no matter how hard it is, sometimes you know it's better for them to go to a different home. And then sometimes maybe it's only personal reasons. You just know they're right for you. Mm-hmm. But you do have to have a mindset of generally accepting that fostering is a temporary hold.
Yep.
You know, but we knew with the mama and the puppy that they would be a good fit for our family, and a permanent forever home would be good with us. And also they got on well with our other pets. So that was the consideration. But for the most part, we plan to foster knowing that we are holding a space for these animals to give love and care and compassion. And then, you know, I know that Jessica and her team find the most amazing parents and, you know, forever homes for these animals. So really it makes our part as foster families easier, knowing that they are being carefully you know, given to families to be looked after and have a home.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You're kind of just the, you got to get in that mindset that you're just a little pit stop until you get to the next family. All right. Well, we're going to take a pause right now, and we're going to play a little game that we like to do on our podcast called Fetch.
Okay.
And basically with Fetch is I have this little squeaky toy here, and it might be super loud, but let's see. What I do is I squeak it. And normally if we were in person, I would throw this to you. We can't really do that as we're talking remotely to each other. But I'll just squeak the toy, and I'll ask you a few questions. It's just a little fun, short little questions just to take a little break here. So let's start. Well, that was pretty loud. We'll see how that goes to the microphone. Debbie, who was your first pet?
So I grew up, I've lived in three continents, and I grew up in Africa. So I had a chameleon as my first pet.
Okay.
I called it Bugsy. I can remember I was about five. And this chameleon wasn't in a cage. It actually lived on a wicker curtain in my bedroom for a short while, catching mosquitoes and flies. But one of the things I was taught by my family was really animals should be in their natural environments and habitats. So I ended up letting the chameleon go back into its, you know, garden, the rockery, etc.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is really fascinating, I learned, you know, chameleons, they camouflage through color. When they get angry from too much handling, they'll get a bit black. They turn black in color.
Yeah.
And, you know, they love to eat their insects and, you know, mosquitoes, and they're just wonderful, but they should be in their own environment.
Well, chameleon, I think that's the first for us here at the podcast. That's fantastic. Okay, if animals could talk, I got to squeak the toy, don't I? No, it's too loud, eh? Okay. If animals could talk, who would be the nicest? Any animal, doesn't have to be cats or dogs.
You know, that's a really hard question, because I feel that all animals, if treated well and in their own right environment, are nice. So I don't think I can easily answer that.
If you can pick an extra nice one.
I used to scuba dive, and one of the greatest experiences I had was diving with dolphins and turtles. So I would say I love them in terms of just watching them gracefully, and you know, they're quite curious and quite you know, very gentle. So maybe I'll say that, but only because I
have
to.
I like it. Well, and then I gotta ask you this then, if animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
And they might
be nice, but maybe the rudest out of the nice. I don't know if we can say that.
Maybe I can say I think all animals, it's not the fault of an animal, but the nature of the beast, as I was always told when I was growing up. But I do think that monkeys, baboons, are the most mischievous, and they probably, you know, I've seen them, you know, steal a camera and those sort of things. So is that being rude? I don't know. But I think that probably I'd say it's the ape families that are maybe the rudest.
I'm with you on that one, Debbie. Like that. All right, last one here. You're a hero for so many pets. Who is your hero?
So I honestly would not be able to choose one. I think there's a number of heroes. Jane Goodall is a well-known, you know, hero for wildlife in Africa, and particularly the chimpanzee. But I'm actually today going to shout out for Jessica and the team at Kings County, because I've seen how hard they work. The whole team, you know, there's North and everyone, and the amount of love and care and hard work. I would say they're really heroes and heroines for those dogs and cats and other animals that come in. So, you know, whenever I see them, I'm just amazed by the work they do. And I would say each and every one of them should get some shout out today.
I like that. We'll make sure that they get this message and make sure that they listen to this. So that's very nice. And we do agree with you on that. We like that. Thank you very much. All right. I know we're coming near the tail end of our podcast here, but a couple more questions for you before we call it. How has fostering changed your life personally?
You know, it just brings joy. And, you know, there's always the opposite when you have to hand them back. There's always that feeling of sadness, even though, you know, they're going to go to a good home and they're being looked out for. But I think it's the joy. It brings the family together. You know, we all are involved in the care of the animals. And certainly I think they give us more than we ever can give them. We give them shelter. We give them food. We, you know. And how has it changed my life? I always wanted animals. I've always been a lover of animals. And it just sort of always brings a little bit of extra joy, excitement. And certainly it brings out the love and compassion that you want to give. And these times are hard, you know. And these animals definitely, I think, appreciate. And they do settle when they know they're in a safe, warm, loving environment. And, you know, you give them what they need. Like puppies need socialization and handling. Sometimes an older cat maybe wants a little bit more time to rest and peace and quiet. So you have to be observant. And you know, we know that puppies need lots of naps. So, you know, you just offer what, you know, that individual animal needs, yeah. But we get more back, definitely get tenfold back for everything we give.
So if someone is interested in fostering, what advice would you give them?
I think everybody's different, but I think the advice I would give is just with your mindset, make sure you feel you're able to give the time and that you have a safe space that's, you know, appropriate, be it warmth or a fenced yard, whatever it is. You know, because the SPCA, our Kings County SPCA were wonderful. You don't have to worry about, you know, if you have any concerns or if you need medication or food, that is provided. So it's more, have you got the space? You know, are you going to give the time and the love? And also just prepare yourself that you have to hand them back. And that can be hard. But there's always another foster animal waiting and needing your love and care and home. So I would say it's very hard to give advice and have fun. Enjoy them because, you know, that's the thing. We have a lot of fun. We've enjoyed them. And we know that they appreciate it. And they show it in different ways.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Debbie. I think that's it. And I want to say thank you very much for joining us. And thank you for doing the work that you do. People like you are special. And I know I can speak for everyone here at the Nova Scotia SPCA and every animal lover out there. We appreciate you very much. So thank you very much. Just wanted to end with that. And I know Jessica in the King's Shelter there would say the exact same things. She appreciates you as well. So
yeah. Well, we'll do lots more fostering, I'm sure, going forward.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. And then looking forward to hearing more stories. So fantastic.
Lovely.
Well, that's it for this episode of the podcast, where every tale has a story. Please remember to give us 5 stars, subscribe, and share so other family, not family, but animal lovers can hear these lovely stories as well. So until next time. Stay kind, stay curious, and give your furry friends an extra treat from us. Thank you very much.